Tell me your names again.
Lydia.
Lydia.
It's in the Bible, so you remember.
There's a whole lot of names in the Bible, girl. You see what I'm dealing with? Can you all share your testimony?
Before Jesus, I was living in the world just seeking validation from everyone. So I was drinking, I was smoking, I was, like I said, I'm 21.
Okay.
But then I decided to read my Bible one day, and Jesus met me in my bedroom, and I encountered him. I had a supernatural encounter with him. For 2 years, I've just been in a relationship with Jesus, in love.
Now how about Nyla? She got hers?
I'm still in the work in progress. Like, it's really hard because I'm only 15. For me, there's so many temptations around me.
Have you not accepted Christ as your Savior yet?
Yeah, I would say not yet.
You haven't?
I want to.
You
want
to do it right now? Okay.
Yeah.
So you know he loves you, right?
I do.
And you know that he has died on the cross for your sin?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm just going to cry.
Yeah, but this is your sister. Hey. Come on, girl.
Lord God, thank you for these divine appointments. Lord, thank you for Pastor Miles. Thank you that you see her, Lord, and that you have been drawing her heart to you, Lord Jesus.
Say, Nyla.
Nyla.
Repeat after me.
Repeat after me.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I believe that Jesus loves me.
I believe that Jesus loves me.
I believe that Jesus loves me.
That he died and rose from the dead.
That he died and rose from the dead.
That he died and rose from the dead.
I confess Jesus as my Savior.
I confess Jesus as my Savior.
I confess Jesus as my Savior.
Please forgive me of my sin.
Please forgive me of my sin.
Please forgive me of my sin.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
I want to be born again.
I want to be born again.
I want to be born.
I trust you with my life.
I trust you with my life.
I trust you with my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church. Happy Sunday. Isn't that a great story? Guess what? Can all y'all raise your hand just for 1 second? Everybody. Okay? So keep your hand up. Raise your hand if you have someone in your life that's one question away from being saved. All of y'all. All of y'all have someone in your life that if you ask them, I tricked you. Oh, for sure, for sure. Every single one of you in all the campuses, what's up all the campuses, El Cajon, San Marcos, City Heights, Oahu, what am I missing? Chula Vista. my mind is fried. Everybody watching online, all of y'all have somebody in your life that if you ask them, would you like to ask Christ to be your Savior? They may have one or two questions, but they just wait for you to ask them. And it's not complicated. So we want to continue to encourage you in that. So let's have everybody stand up. Everyone stand up. Happy Sunday. Got to get our stretch going. Got to get our stretch going. Let's get our stretch going. Come on now, somebody. Lift your hands up in the air, waving like you just don't care. Take a deep breath in. Man, some of you act like you're going to die. It's like, do y'all feel tingles, by the way? Okay, it's oxygen. Take a deep breath in from the bottom of your lungs. Yeah, okay. Lord, thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for oxygen. Thank you for the fact that we have an opportunity in the next few minutes to hear your word. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for your love for us. And I pray you bless us today, encourage us in Jesus' name, and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Football season is upon us. And for all of you who don't care, football season is upon you too. It is what it is. Obviously, I'm a favorite football, but I just love athletes. I mean, if I'm in the airport and I see like little Pop Warner teams or volleyball teams and girls, whatever. I'm like sitting over there, hey, tell me what sports y'all play. Little kids walking with their uniforms, it's awesome. My grandson just was in North Carolina playing for the U.S. In a tournament with the USA baseball team. He's just balling out. So hopefully he's gonna get paid so I can get paid. So I'll probably see none of that money, okay? Whenever you decide that you are going to do something different, like I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna start eating good. There's always these voices that come in your head after you kind of get through the excitement of it that tell you why you can't do it. So I'm gonna eat good, and next thing you know, you're eating chips again. Can I get an amen? You know, I'm gonna work out. You go to the gym one time, you're like talking trash with your body language. You walk in, I want a membership. I want the full membership, 7 days a week. I come in anytime because I'm gonna be here. Then, you know, after two workouts, you're not there anymore. This is especially true when you make a commitment that's spiritual. I'm gonna start reading the Bible every day. I'm gonna do my devotions every day. I talk to you all the time about where's your chair that you're gonna sit, where's the room you're gonna be in, what time you're gonna be there, you're gonna have a Bible and a pen, and spend time with God, and I would encourage you to still do that. Okay, if you haven't started, let's go. You can always start again. And read. Just start reading somewhere. Just pick a book, Matthew, pick a book, Romans, Proverbs, Genesis, and just start reading and just never stop. What I mean by never stop, every day for the rest of your life. And God will guide and direct you as long as you're moving. But when you decide you're gonna do something spiritually, for sure the devil is gonna come and attack you. For sure you're gonna get accusations in your mind. It's not worth it. God's not gonna talk to you. Oh, that church, all they do is this. And he, you know, Miles is not, he just does evangelism. He's not gonna teach you anything. Or God's not gonna bless you. God's not gonna answer your prayers. And like suckers, we believe them. And then you end up right where you were before, which is no better than you were before you started. Because he just tricked you. Or if you say, I'm gonna start going to church and I'm gonna be on time, okay? How many of y'all have a hard time being on time? Not for other reasons, just you're always that late person. Anybody, okay? Are you not gonna be on time? And for all of us who I'm like a prompt dude, that's like a thing to me, stuff happens. Babies throw up, babies got poop, you're getting a fight with your wife, your car got no gas. All this stuff always happens, and the devil will give you all these reasons why not to study the Bible. So we're in this series, message number 3 on apologetics called Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And today we're going to give you reasons why you should study the Bible, why you should study apologetics. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent. Diligente. Say diligent. Take a deep breath in. Say diligent. And I know that you have good lungs because we practice, amen? Matter of fact, when you die, no matter how you die, it is gonna be because ultimately a lack of oxygen to your brain at the end of the day. So we wanna keep our brains oxygenated to keep us aware of what's going on today, even health, just general health. You wanna get good breathing. Side note, be diligent, say diligent. To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth or the Bible. This is saying you need to work at this. You need to work at this. So as we get into this next message, I want to tell you that we have resources on our website pertaining to every single one of these messages and I'm going to go through this apologetic series in different topics. Right now, we're given the basis of what apologetics is. Next, we're gonna talk about truth and morality. There'll be a bunch of terms related to truth and morality, definitions, FAQs, small group discussions for your small group on all this stuff. When we get into science, there's gonna be stuff on cosmology. We're gonna talk about the stars and the moon and all the universe and science of the body, which I cannot wait to get to, because I'm gonna use science to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt every single message that God exists and that there's no way, that it's mathematically impossible for this to come about by accident. Wait till you hear this stuff. So today we're gonna talk about 5 objections that the devil may be putting in your head why you should not engage in apologetics. There's a bunch more, but I just wanna use 5 today. Number 1, We don't need to defend God, because apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to defend. We don't need to defend God. He can defend himself. The response is God doesn't need defending. He does not. But people need clarity. People need clarification. Apologetics isn't about protecting God. It's about removing obstacles of unbelief. People have been sown in their mind lies about God, untruths about the Bible. And we need to say, no. Here's the other side to that. And one of the probably the biggest untruths is that the people who misrepresent God represent God. There are Christians who have done things in the name of God that don't represent God. And people blame God. God's getting a bad rap because of some of us. Because some of us we're critical, we're judgmental. We preach the Bible, yet we don't live it. And so non-Christians are like, you know what? I don't want to follow your faith because y'all don't even live your faith. And they're right. That's why we need to say, hold on, please. Don't judge Jesus based on her. Don't judge Jesus based on him. Don't judge Jesus based on them. Now, I will say this, even though we are not perfect, and there's no perfect church, there's no perfect pastor, there's no perfect congregant, we still have to always strive to be holy as he is holy. But there are some in our family who don't give a rip. They say, I go to church, I'm a Christian, and that's the extent of their Christianity. Those are the people we don't want to be. I meet people all the time, say, hey, Pastor, you know, how you doing? I love the church. I say, oh, yeah, okay, cool. By the way, if you see me at the mall, pray for me, because I'm probably not happy. But if you see me at the mall, now, I'm actually kind of getting in a shopping vibe. I'm starting to, you know, walk. But I love talking to people. And my wife and I are opposite. She's quiet, introvert. I'm extrovert. So everywhere we go, went to the Padre game the other day. So, hey, Pastor Miles, hey, what's up? Hey. If you say, oh, I love the Rock, I'm going to ask you, so tell me what church you go to. Okay? How often you been in? Do you know what Just One is? Don't tell me that just because you want to just say that. If we walk in the walk, let's do it. And so a lot of times we play the Christian game and the non-Christian can sniff it out and go, I don't want that. And they're right. They shouldn't want that. But we need to explain to them, that's not Jesus. Amen. We need to not only live it, but we need to be able to explain to them. There was a guy named John Hawkins who was in Africa, and he preached to a group of 500 Africans. And he said, how many of y'all want Jesus as your Savior? And 500 of them raised their hand. And he said, okay, come with me. I'm going to take you to Jesus, and you're going to have salvation. He led them to the beach. And they got on a slave ship named Jesus, and they became slaves in America. There's a lot of bad things that have happened in our culture under the name of Jesus. So people say, why would you follow a faith that endorses slavery? No. That guy don't represent Jesus. He hijacked it. When people have questions for you, we need to understand the reason we need to study this is so we can explain to people, listen, you need to distinguish between a lie and the truth. And the most damaging lies are the ones done in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Number two, apologetics is too intellectual and not spiritual enough. Do y'all know what woo-woo Christians are? Woo-woo. Hey, praise the Lord. Oh, the Spirit's moving. And I, by the way, I'm not saying if you do this, there's something wrong with you. It's not the physicalness. It's just the kind of woo, woo, woo. Now, the Holy Spirit is mysterious, no doubt about it. But sometimes we just grab stuff from anywhere and just say whatever. People who say this, some of them, don't want to be responsible to think. God just said it. Jesus commanded us to love God with our mind, deep thinking, honest God, and equips us for spiritual growth. Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your what? Mind. Your mind. And all your scrumph. This too, strength. Scrumph. This is called scrumph. God, that means that you want to put effort. It's not, we don't serve a lazy God, a lazy Christianity. People who say this, sometimes some of those people say, I don't want to work. I don't want to think. I just want to be able to flow with the Spirit and claim God told me. I was listening the other day to a part of this podcast, and it talked about one of the number one ways to prevent cancer. How many of y'all would like to know what is the number one ways you can prevent cancer? Raise your hand really high, okay? Okay, so if you're not raising your hand, you're good, okay? Good, fine. One of the number one ways to prevent cancer is weight training, muscles. And one of the number one exercises is squats. What? Yeah. Squats. So if you could take some weight and do this, and all this right here, the stronger that is, the lower your chance of cancer. Now there's other things you can do as well and should do, your diet, et cetera. But squats, if you work out, you're gonna have a lower chance of getting cancer. One of the highest ways to get cancer and heart disease, eat sugar, bad fat, and sit around all day. It's simple. This is not Miles talking, this is science, okay? Now, what does that mean? That means that if you are going to have anything good happen in your life, you have to work and put effort into it. We live in this, hey, you know, DoorDash, oh, I just order my food. I don't gotta go anywhere. Uber, I love Uber, by the way. Matter of fact, my wife and I were in Hawaii one day. We were in this little cafe for breakfast place. And Hawaii is my happy place. Anywhere on the planet, it's my happy place. And we're in this cafe, and this guy is in there with his three little kids, or a couple little kids, I don't remember how many he had. And he goes, hey, Pastor Miles, how you doing? I was like, oh, how you doing? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. I said, what do you do here? He said, oh, I live right on the beach. He's like 30-something years old. I said, oh, cool. I said, you live there? He said, oh, yeah, I retired. I was like, oh, wow, what did you do? Because I don't want to get on that train. He said, well, I started a company, I sold the company, and you know, and now I live down here in Hawaii. I said, is that right? I said, what was the company? He said, Uber. He went to school with my kids, Christian school. I was like, bro, great company. I love using Uber. But my point is this, we want life so easy. And we've been trained that everything should be quick. And if it's not quick, I'm not gonna watch it. Make a training video, it's gotta be 2 minutes because people don't have attention span. Because the devil has trained us to just move on. Life don't work that way. And if you are going to do anything meaningful in your life, it's gonna take time. It's gonna take effort. It's gonna take sacrifice. Everyone say sacrifice. Sacrifice. Do not gravitate towards what is easy. Matter of fact, I've been working out lately harder than normal. And I said, okay, my minimum is going to be 1 hour. I'm just going to stay in this room, no matter what I do, for an hour. And I'm going to, my wife says, she hears me screaming through the thing. I'm going to push for an hour, at least. Time. So when we talk about learning the Bible, we talk about learning how to share your faith, having the guts and the courage to say, hey, can I share something with you? Having the guts and the courage to say, would you mind if I shared my testimony? Would you mind if I invited you to church? That takes courage, it takes time, it takes effort to prepare yourself. Number three, Jesus didn't use apologetics, he just loved people. That's not true. Jesus, read the Bible. And by the way, don't take my word for it, and don't take your friends who don't read the Bible's word for it. And don't take the people on Instagram's word for it. Read the Bible. Jesus would jam people up all the time. They would say, Jesus, you know, are you from God? He said, listen. Is it wrong to divorce? He said, listen. I'll answer that question if you answer this question. He was always up in people's business. He's like, you guys, the religious will come to him with all these questions. He said, you guys don't even read the Bible. Look what he says. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken not knowing the scripture or the power of God. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, hey, Sam, I'm my friends, they got all these questions about God. I said, like what? Well, did Jesus really walk on water? I mean, come on, man. The Daniel and the lions, the lions didn't need him. Come on, man. And they had these practical questions. I said, you know, those are great questions, even though I can show you a video of me feeding six lions full grown myself. But beside that, which I did in South Africa, by the way, but beside that, Jesus walking on water, healing the blind. Okay, the first question you need to ask yourself is, where did the water come from? The lake that he walked on, where'd that come from? The earth that the lake is on, where'd that come from? The universe, where the galaxy that the earth is in, where'd that come from? The universe where that galaxy, one of trillions, where'd that come from? And you have to ask, don't start with the petty stuff, let's start with the big stuff. Because if God created the universe, put the galaxy in the universe, and the earth in the galaxy, and the lake in the earth, then you don't ask the question about can he walk on the water. And so Jesus said, you don't even understand the power of God. You're asking little trivial questions. But now that you asked, Jesus did use dual apologetics. He referred to Old Testament scripture to affirm that he was the Messiah, to affirm that he would rise from the dead, to affirm that he was God in the flesh. Matthew 26, 63. This is Jesus on trial right before he's crucified. Jesus kept silent. They're trying to accuse him of stuff. And the high priest said to him, I put you under oath. This is Jesus on trial. I put you under oath. Tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. Now, you'll hear a lot of people say Jesus never said he was God. Let's pay attention to this. Now, we're going to do a whole series, more than one sermon on did Jesus say he was God. This just happens to be a little crumb on the side. They said, we put you under oath. You are on trial right now. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? Basically, are you God in the flesh? Jesus said, it is as you said. Is that a yes or a no? Is that a yes or a no? Yes. Are you the pastor of the rock? It is as you said. Yes. But then he says, nevertheless, because I know y'all are hard-headed and thick-headed, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power in heaven, coming on the clouds of the heaven. Now, the reason they went berserk when he said that is because he was referring to the Old Testament prophecy of Daniel. And they knew exactly what he was saying. So he said it, by the way, when Jesus was talking, he wasn't talking to us here in 2025, whatever year this is. He was talking to them based on what they knew about the Bible in their language. That's why they went, lost their mind. Then it says, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, Jesus is in the synagogue, and look what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, a verse that refers to the Messiah 1,000 years before Jesus was born. This is Jesus talking about himself, but referring to that verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not just some guy up the street that came and talked to you guys. Open your scroll. Read from Isaiah. That's me. Snap. If I say that, if I read that and say, this has been fulfilled, just run me out of town. For real. Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said, this is Jesus talking about David and how he is the Lord of, Jesus is the Lord of David who died 1,000 years before. The Lord said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He's referring to the fact that he is David's Lord, even though he's 1,000 years after David. Jonah 1:17, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then he says, for as Jonah was in the 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so I will be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. Just as Jonah was in 3 days in the belly of the fish, I will be 3 days only in the ground. So he's saying, when me and my dad had that fish come swallow up Jonah, we were doing it just to prove to y'all and to prepare you for when I die and rise from the dead after 3 days. And then finally, Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, he quotes this in Matthew 22. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still alive. I'm still their God. Why? Because of the resurrection. They are alive forevermore. Jesus was always referring to evidence of the past, the scriptures, to affirm who he was. He wasn't like the prophets you hear today. And by the way, if you ever hear of a prophet of any faith, whether it be Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Islam, whatever, it'll always be some guy, or it could be a girl too, that got some new revelation from God that no one else can verify. And it's secret information. And it tells a bunch of people, they go, oh, we believe you, you're amazing. And then to some horrible end. But Jesus is like, no. We established this evidence for thousands of years. Now I'm fulfilling it, and I can fulfill it. By the way, he fulfilled thousands of prophecies. Come on, Jesus. Come on. So why shouldn't you be able to answer your friends' questions? Why? Your friends have legitimate questions. They really do. See, that baby even has a question. He's like, you're right. Number four, we should just preach the gospel and trust God. Apologetics, Paul preached and reasoned with people. Apologetics supports the gospel by showing its relevance to real life and false beliefs. Acts chapter 17, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers in the marketplace daily. I'm actually gonna preach on this passage next week. When I got saved in 1984, I went home and one of my friends had a party at her house. And we had house parties all the time. Y'all remember house parties? Okay, now y'all go to the club and get all wild, but we used to just go to house then. We didn't have a club, okay. So we went to the house party, and in the house party, we would dance, you know, smoke weed, do all kind of craziness. So I'm in the house party, we're in the, you know, they had a big loft upstairs, and so we went up there and it's like a cloud, you know. It's like, just get a buzz being in the room. And it's like, I gotta get out of this room. So I go down to the dining room, and I'm sitting in the dining room at the table. And all of a sudden, the party starts to leak down the stairs where the whole party ended up around the dining room table asking me questions about Jesus. Because now, remember, these are all my friends. We all hung out. We all did everything that we used to do. And all of a sudden, now I'm not doing it anymore. And they're like, tell us about this thing you believe in, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up talking, and I don't remember how long it was, an hour, whatever it was. We were having a conversation about Jesus. What little I knew. You could have a conversation. And I would encourage you, even your friends, that you could say, look, I don't know everything, but here's what I do know. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was wild. Now I'm like a kitty cat. I was lost, then Jesus forgave me. Since then, I've been walking with him, learning more and more about him, being transformed by him. At least you can say that and have a conversation. And people think, well, I don't have to explain, so I just want to preach. No, that's the problem with a lot of our people. They just think, you're wrong, you're going to hell, you need Jesus. No. Have a conversation. And when Jesus was brought, the lady who was caught in the act of adultery, think about it, she was caught in the act of adultery, and the Bible says that the guys who caught her said, in the very act. So were you watching? Like, where's the dude at? He needs to be stoned. And Jesus said, hold up, lady, just stay right there. And he confronted the accusers. And once they all went away, because he said, if any of y'all without sin, throw the first stone. They all went away. Then he said, I forgive you. That's how we need to represent Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. Lastly, objection number five, it makes faith seem like it's based against logic and not trusting God. Well, we're going to do a whole series on logic and truth and morality. As I said last week or the week before, logic are the guidelines to rational thought. You can actually think and communicate illogically. You don't make any sense. There's guidelines to it. You can believe what you want, but it doesn't mean what you believe is true. It doesn't even mean that how you got to your belief is true. Right. You can get to a belief that is the wrong path to that belief. There are guidelines, because God is a very organized, orderly God, and he created us as a being with a lot of organization, incredible, infinite organization of us as people, logic being one of those things. And when people think, well, it's not logical, I just need to trust God. No. God, because he made us with the ability to think and reason, he said, I do want you to trust me, but I've given you evidence to strengthen your trust so you know what trust is. The Bible says trusting God includes, trust includes trusting his truth. Faith involves the heart and the mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. If Christianity is logical, there should be a logical connection between how God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit treat each other and how we should treat each other. In other words, if you and I were made in the image of God, there should be a logical connection between how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit treat each other and how we should treat each other and how we should treat God. So my wife and I, we're both light-skinned, okay, red bone, whatever you want to call us, light-skinned people. Now, you would think that our kids will be light-skinned. Okay, it's S-K-I-N-D-E-D, light-skinned. Or red bone, or high yellow. There's all kinds of different names. Don't call me that. I'm just telling you what we say back in the day. If you call me high yellow, I ain't going to turn around. I was at this conference the other day, and this dude was... He was behind me, he was bugging me. He was like, hey, hey, hey. And I'm like, he is not calling me hey. But you would think, you know, she's light-skinned, I'm light-skinned, our kids should be light-skinned. Can I get amen? And they are. They are both high. One we used to call her Casper. She was so light back in the day. Another, my son, we used to call him Lemonade because he was, you know, he's light. So you would also expect that personality, there'd be some similarities. Yes, my wife's real quiet. She's an introvert. My son is her mini-me, and my oldest daughter is my mini-me, and our middle daughter is in the middle. She got a little bit of both, okay? So you would think that. You would think we'd have similar smile. That's there because our kids are made in our image. If you tested their DNA, it would trace it right back to us. I couldn't say Billie Jean ain't my wife, ain't my baby. Okay, I can't say that. That's my, I got that one. Yeah, I got that one too. So if God made us in his image, you would expect it to be logical that we would be like him. That we'd have the ability to be like him. That it would be logical that our relationship with each other would be similar to the relationship the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have. So just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love each other, so we should love each other. Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit never backstab each other, we should never backstab each other. Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit promote each other, the Father exalts the Son refers to the Father, and the Holy Spirit reminds us what Jesus said. They're always looking out for each other. We should be looking out for each other. Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are so united, they are referred to as one. Imagine if we were referred to as one. Imagine if we as one said, we're gonna take the gospel to San Diego. We're going to give and be generous and blow up the capacity to do ministry in San Diego. Imagine if we all agreed to that instead of coming and go, I don't know, I'm just sitting in the back. No. Imagine if we were united. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were so united, they were one. Actually, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit also said that there's going to come a day when those who have rejected God will be judged. Now, the term no justice, no peace, I'm sure we've all heard it because all of us have a sense of justice. When we see something happen that we think is wrong, somebody needs to pay. Can I get an amen? You get that from God. You don't get that because you're some righteous person. God put the idea of justice in us because he is a God of justice. The problem is his justice is based on righteousness. Not saying yours isn't. Let me back up. I'm not saying the things you want justice for shouldn't be judged, but his justice is perfect. We get that from him. And one of the things he says is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, nada, comes to the Father but through me. Now, we can argue all that day long, but we're arguing against God. But God is so loving, who cannot deny his love. He cannot deny his character. He cannot deny his promises. He can't lie. And because he's so loving and cannot lie, if you say, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God in his loving, all the love he has, he says, I respect that. And he will let you go someplace where you will never hear of him again. It's called hell. God don't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. And he knows every single one of you, and he's like, look, just like you want justice, you get that from me, so I'm a God of justice. Matter of fact, that's one of my titles, I'm a God of justice. And I want you to be with me because I want to bless you, but I don't want to force you because I love you. I've given you free will to choose. So in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to choose that you want Christ in your life. If you've already asked Christ, great. Go live for him. Don't be one of the reasons someone can claim God is not real because of how you live. But if you don't know Christ, we want to give you opportunity to say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. I don't want to send myself to hell. I don't want to put myself, when I first got saved, my best friend at the time, who used to do cocaine together and a bunch of other bad things, I got saved, stopped doing cocaine. He said, hey man, let's go out and do this, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, I can't do that anymore. I want you to come to church with me. And he said, I don't want to go to church. I said, okay. He chose to reject God. So why would God force him to heaven? That wouldn't be fair. He don't want to go. So in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I don't want to be mistaken as someone who's saying I don't want to go to heaven. I want. Not only do I want to go to heaven, I want to experience it today. So I want to ask all y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, it is so logical that if we follow the directions you give us, we will get the result you promise. And it's also logical to assume that if we don't follow and reject the directions you give us, we will get what those directions lead to. You say all have sinned, and the penalty of sin is death. Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Nobody comes to heaven except through Christ, because Christ is the only Savior who died and rose from the dead. Isaiah 43:10-11, before me there was no God, and nor shall there be after me. Beside me there is, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Lord, you're the only Savior of the world. So as you sit in your seat, whatever campus you're in, if you trust that you are a sinner, like the Bible says, all have sinned, and you don't want to be left out of a relationship with Christ, you don't want to be left out of being saved when Christ comes back, you want to make sure that you are included in the heavenly hosts. That as Jesus separates the goat from the sheep, you want to be one of those sheep. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. A prayer of voluntarily surrendering to Jesus as your Savior. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. I believe Jesus loves me, knows me, died and rose from the dead for me. Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging your expression of faith in Jesus. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stay standing, stay standing. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Amen. Now we're going to ask all of y'all who are standing, in a minute we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, you can turn around and walk up and the ushers will bring you down. If you're standing up, come out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand. Let's celebrate them, church. Come on, church. Let's go. God bless you, man. God bless you. Just stay right there and face me. How are you? How are you? God bless you. 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 He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. Come on. God bless you. 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 Let's go. Let's go. God bless you. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you. Just face, stay here. Stay here. Just face me. Just stay up here and face me. God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. 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 You see all the people up here crying. I don't know why I felt punch you, probably because you got a big old chest. Let me punch you again. I love seeing dudes come up here crying because God said, I got you. I got you. Come on. This is really, really, really simple. God knows everything about all y'all. All the junk that you've never told anybody, and he just forgot it forever. He ain't gonna bring it up again. Your mama's gonna bring it up, your boyfriend's gonna bring it up, all the people in your life, because they're still living in the past. God's like, let's move forward. And if you can accept that and say, God, I'm willing to do what you're gonna do. And here's it's just one very simple rule. And it's a rule, it's a commandment to love God with your heart, mind, and soul. And what that means is do what he says. That's all it means. It has nothing to do with what you feel. I don't feel like it. It doesn't say feel what God wants you to feel. It says do what he says. And the quicker you say, I got to get rid of that account on my phone, I got to get rid of that Instagram, I got to stop following them people, I got to stop watching that at night, I got to stop eating that, snorting that, drinking that, whatever it is, the quicker you do all that, and then you're going to say, I'm going to start doing these things. The quicker you're doing that, your life will change. Lord, I just thank you for all these people that are here. Thank you for forgiveness. Lord, thank you that you forgave me 41 years ago. Thank you. The gospel works. And I pray that all of us in here would just start praying about just one person, that God can use you to lead into the kingdom, bring them to church, see their life be transformed. There's nothing greater than that. In Jesus' name, amen.